And so let's open God's Word this morning. Would you take your Bible and open it up with me? Going to get this thing straight. Shake it. That'll work. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to begin at verse 8. Last week, we started this series called Church, and last week, we talked about the fact that church is where Jesus is glorified, that it's all about Him, it's all about bringing glory to His name. This morning, we're talking about church as being a place where ministry is released, where the power of the Holy Spirit is released through God's people. And this great passage of Scripture says that very thing. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Above all, now how many of you know with a verse that starts above all, you should pay attention? Isn't that right? If it starts above all, you should pay attention. Above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another, and then this is important, without grumbling. Without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received, not to spend it on yourselves, but to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Church, I love the church. I know the church isn't perfect, but I love the church. Jesus died for the church. The church is God's idea. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Jesus is coming back for His church. Amen? So I love the church. And I was so blessed because as a young person, even though I hadn't been raised in church, when I found Christ, the church where I found Christ was such an important part. I will literally say it was a local church that saved my life because I had come out of so much dysfunction, so much sin, so much darkness in the home that I grew up in. Thank God for a local church that loved Jesus and loved people. And a family from that church invited me to come to church with them. I was 11 years old. My second Sunday at church, the pastor gave an invitation for people to come to Christ, and God was just drawing my heart. There was not a lot that I knew at that point, but I knew God was speaking to me, and I came forward at an altar call and gave my life to Jesus Christ. And my life has never been the same. And then in the weeks after that, that church just encouraged me and poured into me and loved me. My parents were less than excited about my newfound faith. I will say that. And they were not about to waste any gas money on taking me to church. And I lived about 2 miles from the church that I got saved in. But thank God, that church had a bus ministry. This is back when bus ministries in churches were very popular. Our church owned 5 buses. And those buses would go out week after week and pick up kids like me that didn't have any other way to get to church. Mr. and Mrs. King, I don't even know if Mr. King was a Christian, to be honest with you. But Mrs. King made him drive the bus. Mrs. King loved Jesus and she loved kids, and so she was in charge of this particular bus, and she would go around and knock on everyone's doors on Saturday. All the kids that came on the bus, she would come every Saturday and knock on our door to remind us that the next day was Sunday. It was so nice of her. And she would say, "Don't forget, Tim, we're going to be here tomorrow morning." She'd tell me what time, and tomorrow's going to be a great day. And week after week, she would just encourage me to be on the Sunday school bus. And then I remember Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave was our youth pastor, but he was also in charge of the bus ministry. And he was always doing these contests, trying to keep all the kids interested and keep us excited about coming to church and keep us inviting our friends. So he did this big thing, a big contest that if we had 100 kids on the buses, Pastor Dave would kiss a pig. Now, that doesn't seem very exciting today, but I'm telling you, when I was 13 years old, that was so exciting. I wanted to see Pastor Dave kiss a pig. Did you know you can kiss a pig for Jesus? Did you know that? And so the big day came, and oh, man, we had way over 100 kids. Packed out the Sunday school buses. Pastor Dave got out on the sidewalk. Someone brought a pig over, and all of us, we looked out the windows of the buses, and Pastor Dave kissed that pig. And we were all so excited. And I just thought, what a lesson about a church just saying, hey, we will do whatever it takes to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? We'll do whatever it takes, even kiss a pig. And then, of course, when I got to church, there had to be some place to go, right? So we had my first Sunday school teacher. His name was Dan Johnson. Dan was a cement contractor by trade, but on Sundays he taught sixth grade boys Sunday school. Now, how many of you know you are committed to Jesus if you teach sixth grade boys? You love Jesus a lot to do that. And Dave came every week and prepared to teach the Bible, and I was so excited because I didn't know anything about the Bible. So every Sunday that I got there, it was a new adventure for me. All these stories I had never heard before. And I thank God for Dan Johnson teaching God's Word every Sunday to sixth grade boys. And then also I just think of all the people in our church, Bethany Christian Assembly up in Everett, Washington, all the people that maybe they didn't have a title or they weren't a Sunday school teacher or anything like that, but they just would look out for me because they knew my parents didn't know the Lord. And so every Sunday they would just encourage me and pray with me, and it meant so much to me. Herb and Lillian Haugo were a couple that come to mind. They sang in the choir. Herb was a school teacher. And Herb and Lillian, almost every Sunday, either before our church or after church, they would find me just to see how I was doing. Man, never underestimate the power of just checking in with somebody and asking them how they're doing. Amen? Just check in. Just encourage, check in, how you doing? Then I think about all the, as I grew up in the youth ministry there, all the parents of the youth group members and how they would just get together and do great things for all the teenagers. Every Friday night after the football games, we had a gathering that was called Fifth Quarter. And this is where after the football game, we'd all come together, and it's probably 100 of us, after the different football games, we'd meet at the church after the football game. Because the parents wanted to provide a place for us where we weren't out partying with our friends after the football games, right? So we could come, instead of going to a party after the football games, we could come to church. And we could hang out with our friends there, and we'd have great games and great food. And I just think about those parents, the investment they made. I'm sure there are other things they could have been doing on Friday nights. But instead of doing those things, they were hanging out at the church with the teenagers, investing their money because they would buy the food and make the food. They would make it nice for us. And every Friday night, it was such a great time. But it would have never happened without a bunch of parents that just got together and said, we're going to invest in our young people. And then a little more serious thing, when I was about 14 years old, I was going through a really difficult time I was having nightmares. Just almost every night I was having these really, really bad dreams. Probably had something to do with the kind of movies I was watching. And I had these bad dreams. I was 14 years old, and literally these dreams were so terrifying, I was afraid to go to sleep at night. So I'd lay there in bed, not even wanting to. I was so afraid. I was so gripped by fear. And of course, it's not something a 14-year-old boy is going to talk to about, you know, I wasn't going to talk to anybody about what was going on. You know, I wasn't going to tell my parents or anybody. I wasn't going to tell my friends. But I was literally too afraid to go to sleep at night. And this went on for months. And then one Sunday night after church, I came up and I was just praying at the altar. And Dorothy Garka, who was an elderly lady in our church, who I didn't know her very well. I'd talked to her maybe a few times at church, but she comes up and she kneels beside me at the altar, and she said, "Tim, if you ever have a problem with bad dreams, here's what you should do." And at first, I got to tell you, I was a little freaked out. Because I thought, what is God telling this woman? You know, what else does she know about me? And then she just gave me some simple advice. She said, every night before you go to sleep, the last thing you should do is read your Bible. Just read a little bit of your Bible before you go to sleep, and those bad dreams will go away. Well, I couldn't wait. I tried it that night, and it worked. And I never had one single nightmare after that night. Not one. Not one. Now, Dorothy, probably to this day, doesn't know what a turning point that was in my life. I mean, it was an absolute breakthrough in my life. And it was because a woman was just being obedient to the Lord, investing in a young teenager, and just coming down and praying with me and giving me a little bit of advice. A turning point. And then there's times, too, in church, you know, as a young person, where you actually need a little correction, right? And when I was a freshman in college, they asked me to start teaching the first grade Sunday school class. And the first thing I said is, do I have to do any crafts? Because if there's crafts, I'm out. You know, I can't do that. They said, no, all we want you to do is do the lesson every week. Just do the lesson. And I thought, well, how hard can that be? Well, I get there the first Sunday, and there's 60 first graders. I kid you not. And I'm in charge of telling this story. And so I had the, you know, old-fashioned flannel graphs, and I would tell the Bible story. And boy, it was all new to me, but I was loving it. I was getting used to it. And the woman that was in charge who asked me to be a part of this ministry was a woman by the name of Pearl Larson. And Pearl is someone I just had so much respect and esteem for. Well, there was one Saturday night where I wasn't prepared for my Sunday school lesson the next day, and my friends asked me to go out and do something with them Friday night. So I went out, and we had a good time. We stayed up pretty late, though. I had no time to prepare my lesson. Sunday morning, I kind of barely glanced at it. I got up in front of the kids, but I wasn't prepared. And I'm telling you, if you are not prepared in front of 60 first graders, they will eat you for lunch. I mean, they're squirrely, they're goofing off, they can tell I'm not ready. And after that Sunday school lesson, such as it was, Pearl Larson came to me and she said, "Tim," she said, "I know they're only first graders, but they deserve a Sunday school teacher who will show up ready to teach." Now, Pearl wasn't harsh with me, but she spoke the truth into my life. And I'm telling you, made a big difference. I learned two lessons that day. First of all, I learned that first graders matter to Jesus. And the second lesson I learned was to never show up unprepared. As long as it was in my ability, I would always show up to teach my Sunday school class or preach that message or whatever it was. Pearl had no idea at that time that I'd eventually be pastoring a church. Now, I'm sure she thought that was a total impossibility. But the words that she spoke to me that day, even though they were hard for me to hear, they changed my life. They changed my life. They were so important. I learned such a valuable lesson. So all of that to say, church, in the church family, in the body of Christ, never underestimate how God can and will use you to make a difference in somebody's life. Amen? And that applies to each and every one of you. So here's my premise this morning. Every Christian is uniquely designed by God to have a place of serving in the body of Christ for the purpose of building others up. Every single believer. You know, we tend to think sometimes in church that the really important stuff happens up here. That it's the music, it's the preaching. But I would submit to you today that so much of the really important stuff that happens in church happens out there. It happens in the Sunday school classes, in the church lobby, and it doesn't even happen on Sundays sometimes, right? It's us ministering to one another. We've kind of set this model up in the church in America where it's kind of like the performance and the audience. The performance and the audience. And we even call this a stage sometimes. You know, of all the things in the Bible uses to describe the church, the Bible never once calls the church an audience. Never. The Bible never once calls the church a business or a corporation. The Bible never once refers to the church as an institution. The Bible not once calls the church a club. But the Bible does call the church a family many times. And the Bible calls the church a body. We are the body of Christ. And that's an incredible picture of how the church should function. It's like a body, the body of Christ, with Jesus being the head of the body of Christ, where we recognize that if one part of our body isn't functioning right, the rest of the body is affected by that, right? And we appreciate the fact that all of the parts of our body are actually in working order. I had a few years ago, I had an experience that reminded me of why I like all of my body parts to work like they're supposed to. We were camping, and I mean real camping, in a tent. And I'm here to tell you, there is one reason I ever camp in a tent, and her name is Janice. So we're tent camping, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and my arm is completely numb because of how I've been sleeping on it. But you know how you are in the middle of the night, you're not thinking right, you know? So I wake up in the middle of the night, my arm's totally numb, and the first thing I think is, man, you're having a heart attack. Janice took you camping, and now you're going to die. And then I thought, well, it's my right arm. I think it's supposed to be your left arm if you're having a heart attack. And plus, other than my arm, I feel pretty good. But my arm, it wasn't just numb. You know, we all have that from time to time. It was paralyzed. However, I had laid on that cot, in the frame of the cot, my arm was paralyzed. I could not move it a bit. And to roll over, I mean, to try to get it kind of in a place, I had to literally go like this. I was like, my arm was, it did not work at all. And it took several minutes before finally that some feeling started coming back and I could use my arm again. But that's such a picture of what happens in the body of Christ when we all don't understand that we're all important to the body of Christ. That God has called us to be a part of the body, and every part of the body of Christ matters to all the other parts. Never let the devil deceive you into thinking that you don't matter, that you've got nothing to contribute. That is such a lie. Every member of the body of Christ, stop being paralyzed by the lies of the enemy and recognize that God has created you and gifted you to be unique in the body of Christ. So I want to give you three things this morning. We're going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8 again. Actually, I'm going to jump down to the very, very, the last part of this. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. Notice this, in its various forms. So it's all about the grace of God, but the grace of God comes with a lot of different faces, a lot of different forms, comes in a lot of different ways, right? So in these various forms, however God has gifted you, we're all sharing the love and the grace of God. So let me give you three things this morning. First of all, you were created for a purpose. You were created for a purpose. You were created for a purpose. By the way, this is something that people get robbed of when they buy into the lie of evolution. If you believe your life is some kind of cosmic accident, then you don't believe there's something special about you. You're just another accident. Well, we don't believe that here at Bethel Church. We believe in a creator. Amen? We believe that every person is created by God. And you're created by God with a purpose. Pastor Troy gave us the scripture a little earlier, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When Paul wrote this, he's writing not just to every Christian in Ephesus, he's writing to every Christian for all time. Amen? You are created by God, just the way you are, unique, with purpose in your life. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, and I know this is a particular promise to a particular person, but I believe this principle applies to every single person. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." You're created, church, with a purpose in mind. You're created with a purpose. Secondly, not only are you created with purpose, but you're also called. You're chosen. You're chosen, uniquely chosen by God for a purpose. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. "But you are God's chosen people." All right, you got to just nudge your neighbor and say, "You're chosen by God." Come on, do it. You're chosen by God. You are God's chosen people. Now, I know the rest of this description, it sounds so lofty. It sounds so lofty. We feel like, man, that doesn't describe me. I'm just telling you, this is who we are in the Spirit. This is who we are. This is our true identity. You are God's chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's you. Amen. That's you. Yeah. You're created by God, but you're also especially chosen by God. You're chosen by God. And then thirdly, you're created by God, you're chosen by God, and then you're also empowered by God. You are empowered. You're empowered with the Holy Spirit of God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Now, this promise is not just for the 12 apostles. This is for every believer. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I love this passage of Scripture because it's a reminder to us that no matter how unqualified I might feel, the Spirit of God lives in me. And when the Spirit of God lives in you, guess what? You have unlimited potential. Because the Holy Spirit has no limits. You can look at your own life and say, "I'm so limited. I'm not talented. I'm not gifted. I can't do this. I don't know very much." You can look at everything in your life that you feel like this disqualifies me. But I want to remind you today, church, you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Just think about Moses. Moses, when he's standing there at the burning bush, he's telling God everything that's wrong with him. Right? "I'm not qualified. I can't lead. I can't talk. Blah, 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 blah." And what does God say to him? "I will go with you. I will be with you. I'll put my words in your mouth." Listen, church, you don't have to have a Bible college education to be used by God. Amen? You don't have to have tons of experience in ministry to be used by God. Because it's the power of God's Holy Spirit working in us, working through us. So you're created, you're chosen, and you're empowered. Say it with me. I am created, I am chosen, I am empowered. Yeah, that's the truth. Now, what is our part in all of this? What decisions do I need to make? I want to just give you two things. What it takes on our part. First of all, you have to be willing. You have to be willing. You have to have a willing heart. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to be willing. You have to have a willing heart that just says, God, if you can use me, here I am. How many of you today would just say, I want to have a willing heart? Yeah, I just want to have a, I want to be willing, God. Just willing to be used by you. One of our great ministry partners is a ministry called Convoy of Hope. Convoy of Hope has been in existence for 24 years. And this great worldwide ministry actually started by two brothers out of the back of their pickup truck who just had a heart for those that were hurting and needy. And so they started collecting groceries and just delivering them to people who they knew were in need. Started in the back of a pickup truck. Today, Convoy of Hope feeds 177,000 children every single day around the world. Okay? Get that picture. 24 years ago, pickup truck, few bags of groceries. 24 years later, 177,000 kids fed every day at their school or in their orphanage. So when Convoy of Hope started, they didn't have much. They didn't have all these semi-trucks that they have today. They didn't have a worldwide distribution center. They didn't have multi-million dollar donors. They had some groceries and a pickup truck. But you know what they had? They had a willing heart. They had a willing heart. Hal and David Donaldson, they said, God, if you can use us, here we are. This is what happens when we have a willing heart. It's amazing what God can do with a willing heart. In fact, one of the things that I love reading about the Bible is reading in the Bible is you read all these stories about people really that didn't seem very qualified, right? I mean, some of the great heroes of the Bible are not people we would have chosen, but God chose them. They didn't have a lot going on for them, but they had the most important thing. They had a willing heart. And because they had a willing heart, God used them in powerful, powerful ways. Have a willing heart. And the second thing we need is we need to have a spirit of servanthood. We need to be willing, and we need to have a servant's heart, a servant's heart. And this is counterculture to the world that we live in. Counterculture to the world we live in. But church, listen, church is not about me, it's about we. Right? Church is not about me. It's about we. It's about us together. It's about being servants of one another. Pretty much everything in life, really, that goes well, doesn't work well if you don't have a servant's heart. Things in life that you're in for yourself usually don't go well. If you join a sports team and it's all about you, nobody's going to want to be on your team, right? Because you're making it all about you. When you get married, some of us got married thinking it was all about us. And we learned with some bumps and bruises along the way that it wasn't about us. Right? It was about being together. And certainly those of us who are parents, when we became parents, we learned it was not about us anymore. Right? And the same thing is true of church. When we try to make church about ourselves, that just doesn't work. Never will. Never can. Why? Because that's not Jesus. That's not what the Lord wants for his church. In fact, Jesus, remember, he took his apostles to the upper room, and what did he do? He washed their feet. Washed their feet. And then he said, the reason I did this is to show you how you should treat one another. You should serve one another. So we need to have a willing heart. We need to have a servant's heart. And when we have a willing heart and a servant's heart, and as the body of Christ, we start recognizing God's giftings in us, and we start using those giftings for God, whoa, watch out, devil. Right? Watch out, devil. Watch and see what God can and will do with you. So I want to pray this morning. I want to pray a release of spiritual giftings in this place. I want to pray that every born-again Christian, that every member of the family of God here at Bethel Church, we will begin to understand who we are in the Lord and how God can and will use us. I want to pray a release of servanthood, not only among us, but a release that flows out of our church into our valley, because there's a lot of people out there that still need Jesus. Amen? Still need to come to know Christ. So I want to pray with you this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. If you guys would, thank you. And would you bow your hearts with me for a moment? Just bow your hearts with me. I want to just pray over you. How many of you this morning would just say, Pastor Tim, I feel like in my life I've been neglecting some of my spiritual gifts. I've been holding back. And I recognize today that I need to be willing. I need to have a servant's heart. I need to allow God to move in my life and to begin to use me. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand this morning. Just a release of who you are in the Lord. Yeah, God bless you. You can go ahead and put your hands down. And then let me ask this. Maybe you're here this morning and you've just never recognized how much God really loves you and cares about you. So the first step for you today is not a commitment to ministry, it's a commitment to Jesus. It all starts right there. I want you to know that you are loved by God, probably more than you've ever thought. You're loved by God, and God has a purpose, a plan, and a destiny for your life. But that purpose, plan, and destiny for your life, it starts with Jesus. It all starts with Him. It starts with knowing Him. So perhaps you're here this morning, and you just say, Pastor Tim, that's the first step for me. Today, I want to open my heart to Jesus. Today, I want to surrender my life to Him. If that's you today, would you raise your hand up? I want to just lead you in a prayer right now. God bless you. Yeah. Others this morning. Yeah. The first step. Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. Anybody else? Then I'm going to lead us in prayer. Those of you who raise your hand, God bless you. Would you pray after me this morning? Father in heaven, and everybody, would you pray this prayer with those who raise their hand? Father in heaven, I open my heart and life to you today. God, I know it all starts with you. Jesus, I ask for your forgiveness today for doing life my own way, on my own terms. Lord, come into my heart. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me, and I believe you have risen from the dead. So today, I give my heart and life to you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, church, the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices. All the angels of heaven rejoice over one person who finds Jesus. So let's just rejoice for a moment right now. Will you do that with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now, would you stand to your feet this morning? Amen. The worship team's going to lead us in this great song of responding to the Lord.
Hidden glory in creation.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Church, I believe that our best days as a church are still ahead of us. I believe God is going to use Bethel Church in powerful, powerful ways in the days ahead. But it's going to take all of us, discovering who we are in the Lord and being open and willing for God to use us. Amen? Before we go this morning, I want to mention, just in response, if there's a next step that you need to take, maybe you're here this morning and the Lord just used this to speak to your heart and you're kind of going, okay, what's my next step then, Pastor Tim? I feel like God wants to use me in different ways that I'm being used right now, and I'm open to what God wants to do. A couple of steps. First of all, next Sunday following this service, we have a class that's called It's a Privilege to Serve. And that class is it's a discovery class to help you discover what your spiritual gifts are. And so I encourage you to sign up and be a part of that. Also, if you just want to be used in different ways in the church body and you're not sure what that is, maybe, just email the church. Just email the church tomorrow, and one of the pastors or somebody will be in touch with you, and we'll get you plugged in to a ministry so that you can find that joy of serving in the family of God. And one last thing. Tonight is our annual membership meeting. Tonight at 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Some of you might be thinking, man, I would rather go to the dentist than go to a business meeting. All right? Our business meetings aren't like that. Really, they're a joy. It'll be about a one-hour meeting. It's all about casting vision. So when I say our best days are still ahead, we're going to be talking about that tonight. We're going to have some great refreshments, a great time of fellowship. Again, it'll probably be just about an hour, so 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock tonight. So come and be a part of that. It'll be really worth your time. Let me speak God's blessing over your life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week.